The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com, teenvogue.com, and kidspiritonline.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com, De-influencing, all you need to know about the new TikTok trend. And this article was written by Gia Trugera. From the Charlotte Tilbury blush wands to the ever-so-famous Stanley cups, the drunk elephant serums, and the AirPods Pro Max, influencers worldwide are convincing their followers and millions of other social media users that they simply have to have these products. And while some of these products may work magic, every different influencer is getting paid to promote different products, leading to an overwhelming flow of options and choices in our markets. This flow convinces us that we simply must need everything shown to us by our favorite influencers, regardless of what the durability, price point, or even quality may be. This is what de-influencing aims to solve. What is de-influencing? In simple terms, de-influencing is a new trend in TikTok that involves influencers and content creators using their platforms to encourage their followers to focus on consuming more sustainable and affordable products rather than being influenced by materialistic and superficial products they see advocated for online. Influencers are now aiming to be more transparent about their experiences with a particular product and why these products are simply not worth the hype. These influencers also provide cheaper and more durable alternatives to these products and strongly urge their followers not to give in to these micro trends at a macro price. The de-influencing TikTok trend also addresses the issue of overconsumption, which is a major problem in our society today. Influencers often promote a culture of constant buying and materialism, which can lead to overconsumption and waste. De-influencing encourages people to adopt more environmentally friendly and sustainable lifestyles in order to escape the cycle of excessive consumption. Influencers might share advice on waste reduction strategies, like using reusable water bottles and buying secondhand clothing rather than new clothes. De-influencing is a trend that encourages people to make better purchasing decisions and to only invest in items that they genuinely need or that make them happy. Overconsumption can be avoided and waste minimized as a result. Why has this trend become so popular? High inflation and economic uncertainty have now made people more cautious of their spending habits. This is in turn causing consumers to choose products that they see themselves using in the long run, as well as products that are affordable. Influencers often use TikTok to promote products or services, which can be misleading or manipulative. Some may exaggerate the benefits of a product or fail to disclose that they are being paid to promote it. There have been concerns over the authenticity of influencer recommendations. Recently, popular creator Michaela Noguera was accused of wearing false eyelashes in a sponsored video promoting L'Oreal mascara. The incident, referred to as MascaraGate, went viral and left users wondering if they could trust the opinions of influencers who benefit financially from recommending products. Why is it so important to de-influence? Numerous issues, such as resource depletion, environmental damage, and personal debt, can result from excessive consumption. Furthermore, excessive consumption frequently promotes a consumeristic and materialistic society, which can exacerbate social and economic inequalities. Therefore, it is crucial for influencers to counteract their followers' propensity for excessive consumption. This can be done by encouraging followers to engage in sustainable and responsible consumerism, encouraging them to make thoughtful purchases, and emphasizing the drawbacks of excessive consumption. By doing this, influencers can significantly contribute to the cause of a more just and sustainable society. They can inspire their followers to put their ideals and well-being before material goods and assist them in making more informed judgments. De-influencing can also help consumers understand what products are really worth purchasing and makes each consumer sure of their purchasing power. How can we avoid falling into the trap of influencer culture? 1. Decide if you really need it and will still use it even if the trend dies out. Take your time to decide if the product you see online will truly be of use even after the trend passes, and if it is a product that you see yourself using daily or weekly. 2. Look at the expiration date. If you want to splurge on a particular makeup/skincare item, then I highly recommend checking the product's shelf life so that the product does not go to waste and you can obtain the maximum yield from it. This also promotes sustainability. 3. Compare prices to find alternatives. Another way to truly get a bang for your buck would be to research and compare the best prices for a product, or to find dupes for a product of your choice. This also helps if the product you buy is something you think you will be using for a short period of time. 4. Find a sustainable way to dispose of the product after consumption. Finally, ensure that after using the product completely, you find sustainable ways to dispose of it. Cosmetic companies are slowly starting to launch refills so that your outer packaging can stay the same. Similarly, look for companies that allow you to send back empty product casings for an extra bit of cash. It never hurt anyone to be sustainable. In conclusion, the recent de-influencing TikTok movement has spurred a crucial discussion about authenticity and accountability in the social media realm. People are now more realistic and conscious about their spending habits, and influencers are engaging a more realistic and healthy picture of products and goods that don't need to be consumed. While it is easy to get roped into the materialistic sense of TikTok, in the long run, it is not sustainable and feasible. With our planet heading towards more unsustainable practices, limiting overconsumption and purchasing products with a spending outlook will only do all of us good. Our next article from KidSpiritOnline.com, Violence and Healing, We Cannot Give Up. And this article was written by Nikita Zinoviev. Violence is the use of physical force so as to injure, abuse, damage, or destroy. Other definitions are also used, such as the World Health Organization's definition of violence as the intentional use of physical force or power, threatened or actual, against oneself, another person, or against a group or community, which either results in or has a high likelihood of resulting in injury, death, psychological harm, maldevelopment, or deprivation. Ukrainians began to experience violence from Russian soldiers on February 24, 2022. Most of us woke up because of the loud explosions nearby at about 5 o'clock a.m. All the plans to go to school or work were left in our previous peaceful life. A lot of people had to leave their homes to save themselves. There were innumerable traffic jams all over the country. The growing panic was seen and felt all over Ukraine. Nobody could believe that the war had started. However, destroyed buildings, tanks in the streets, flying helicopters in the sky, and the air alarm everywhere were extremely convincing. Burned cars and dead bodies looked like the scene of a thriller in the movies. Everybody hoped this film would be over in 2 hours or less. My family and I live in Kyiv. There were a lot of people who did not want to leave the city. My parents and I were among them. The authorities had persuaded Ukrainians to prepare their emergency backpacks in case of possible provocations from our brotherhood countries. An interesting fact was that we packed the go bags a day before the war started. Luckily, my mother had listened to her intuition and put the most important things in our rucksacks. However, we did not want to leave the city despite the difficult circumstances. We did not want to go away, even when we had to stand in line for 3 to 4 hours at the store to buy bread. Though the queues were mercilessly shot, how to go,
where to go. This is my city, the place I love. It seemed like a dream. It will not last long. I wanted to believe it so much. There were air alarms 4 to 5 days during the night. Anxiety, going to the shelter, basement, the corridor without the windows, or subway stations. Each night was turning into a nightmare. The sound of death-bearing planes and helicopters and rockets caused fear and panic. Every day the situation became worse and more difficult. The lack of electricity, heat, and water especially affected our lives. Charging and using the phone was another challenge, and calling friends and relatives was a daily journey to places where we found a reliable connection. My mother and I had to leave the city in March 2022. I had been away for 6 weeks, and they were the worst ones. Let me skip telling you about them, because this period was the most painful in my life. Seeing countless dead bodies everywhere around will stay in my memory forever. In a very short period of time, my mom and I were really eager to go back to our native city, which is mutilated and scarred, but so dear and beloved. We had to wait for our Ukrainian armed forces to drive the enemy away from the outskirts of the city. And until it was possible to return, the waiting time stretched incredibly long. Luckily, our apartment was fine, though it was extremely intense to see all the destruction around. Numerous people all over the country had lost their homes. Nevertheless, all Ukrainians have combined their efforts to volunteer because it is important to help those who are in need. There are a lot of public organizations all over the country. They are working with the remaining youth and community residents to unite them and teach them how to engage in service activities. Volunteers are conducting events within the framework of the Country of Free People. There are special centers that feed people hot food, distribute supplies, and share clothes for different seasons. Lots of people organize free masterclasses for children of diverse age groups. There are a lot of board game clubs, English and German courses, music classes, ping pong and fencing clubs, folk and ballroom dance classes, and many more. They are free and looking for support from donors and caring people to help out more children. Every thank you is like a battery that gives us strength to move forward. Ukrainians are doing everything possible to bring our common victory closer and believe that this victory is almost won. We will rebuild. Everything will be even better than it was. We hope we will become better than we were, and we will be free. We will be Ukraine.
And our next article from TeenVogue.com. Millie Bobby Brown debut novel, 19 Steps, set during World War II, inspired by her family's history. And this article was written by Caitlin McNabb. Millie Bobby Brown is once again reminding us that there is almost nothing she can't do. Award-winning actor? Check. Founder of a beauty brand? Check. Director? Check. Next on the list, published author. On March 24th, the 19-year-old Stranger Things star announced that she has written her debut novel, titled 19 Steps. The historical fiction novel is inspired by true events and Millie's own family history during World War II, specifically her grandmother Ruth's survival of the Bethnal Green Tube disaster in 1943. Per BBC, the Bethnal Green Tube disaster was the largest single loss of civilian life in the UK during the war. Writing 19 Steps has been a really special project for me, Millie said in the announcement video she posted to Instagram. The book will be published by William Morrow, an imprint of HarperCollins. I really hope you will find the true spirit of love and strength in 19 Steps, and I can't wait to share it with you. MBB's novel takes place 3 years into World War II and follows 18-year-old Nellie Morris, who lives in London in the Bethnal Green neighborhood, with her family. According to the novel's official description, Nellie becomes enchanted with the idea of a broader world after a chance encounter with Ray, an American airman stationed nearby. Just when Nellie begins to embrace an exciting new life with Ray, a terrible incident occurs during an air raid one evening, and the consequences are catastrophic, reads the synopsis. As the truth about that night is revealed, Nellie's world is torn apart. When it seems all hope is lost, Nellie finds that, against all odds, love and happiness can triumph. The Enola Holmes star's first novel is already being described as a mesmerizing page-turner and an epic story of longing, loss, and secrets. Inspired by My Nanny Ruth, this book is very personal and close to my heart, Millie Bobby Brown said about the book in a press statement. I grew up listening to stories about her time living through the war. I'm honored to keep her story alive. Millie has always been a vocal advocate for strong female characters in film and TV, so it only makes sense that she'd feel the same about female characters in literature and feel compelled to write one of her own. 19 Steps is a tender, inspiring story about female resilience and the human spirit, Liz Stein, the executive editor at William Morrow, also said in a statement. Both heartwarming and heartbreaking, it's a novel that portrays the strength and courage we find in family, friendship, and community. I was incredibly moved by the haunting, true tragedy at the core of the novel and enchanted by the unforgettable portrait of love in the time of war. 19 Steps will hit shelves on September 12, 2023, and you can pre-order it at Amazon.com. And our next article from TeenVogue.com. The Last of Us star Bella Ramsey said they were denied for a role for not having the Hollywood look, and this article was written by Alyssa Hardy. The Last of Us star Bella Ramsey may be everywhere after their stellar performance in the HBO hit, but getting roles wasn't always easy. In a resurfaced clip shared on Twitter, the actor said they were once turned down for a role because they didn't have the Hollywood look. I was told in one of my first auditions ever, the director really liked me, but I didn't get the part because I didn't have the Hollywood look, Bella shared. That's something that I've always found very interesting. Hollywood's absurd expectations and lofty beauty standards placed on actors are nothing new, but on children and teens, it's especially egregious. In the past, Bella Ramsey has been open about their experience in the entertainment industry as a young person, revealing that they almost turned down the role of Ellie in The Last of Us because of how uncomfortable fame can be. Bella has also spoken publicly about how their experience in the industry is even more difficult as a non-binary person. This is what bothers me more than pronouns, being called a young woman or a powerful young woman, young lady, but I'm just not that, Bella told GQ in February. Catherine called Birdie, I was in dresses. Young Elizabeth, I was in a corset, and I felt super powerful in that. Playing these more feminine characters is a chance to be something so opposite to myself, and it's really fun. Despite the difficulties early on, it's clear that Bella is making a path of their own in Hollywood. Beauty standards and outdated gender ideas be damned. Following the success of The Last of Us, which the creators confirmed will be coming back for season 2 with Bella as the star, the 19-year-old actor is sure to become an even bigger star. And our next article from TeenVogue.com. A grand jury voted to indict Donald Trump, making him the first ex-president charged with a crime. And this article was written by Bess Levin. And there's a note. This article was originally published by Vanity Fair. Donald Trump is one step closer to being criminally charged and potentially serving time in prison after a Manhattan grand jury reportedly voted to indict him for his role in the 2016 hush money payout to porn star Stephanie Clifford, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels. According to the New York Times, an indictment will likely be announced in the coming days. By then, prosecutors working for the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, will have asked Mr. Trump to surrender and to face arraignment on charges that remain unknown for now. Trump does not yet appear to have commented on the news. Bragg's office began presenting evidence to a grand jury at the end of January, signaling that a charging decision was imminent. Among the witnesses who testified were former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, longtime Trump counselor Kellyanne Conway, and former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. Cohen's testimony was presumably of significant interest to prosecutors, given that he was the actual person who paid Daniels the $130,000 in October 2016 to keep her quiet and pleaded guilty in 2018 to federal charges related to the hush money deal. Cohen has previously said he arranged the hush money payoff at Trump's direction. He told Congress that he was reimbursed for the $130,000 while Trump was in office, with the then president personally signing checks each month. Asked why the reimbursement was spread out over approximately a year's time instead of being taken care of in one fell swoop, Cohen said it was in order to hide what the payment was and that it was meant to look like a retainer. And Trump, he testified under oath, knew about everything. Speaking to reporters after he testified before the grand jury in mid-March, Cohen said, "My position is that, at the end of the day, Donald Trump needs to be held accountable for his dirty deeds, if, in fact, that's the way the facts play out." Daniels herself met with prosecutors on March 15th. While a conviction is in no way a sure thing, should he be found guilty, Trump could go to prison for up to 4 years. Asked earlier this month if he would drop out of the 2024 presidential race if he were to be indicted, the ex-president and current presidential candidate responded, "I wouldn't even think about leaving," adding that criminal charges would probably enhance my numbers. Of course, today's news is far from the only legal issue Trump is facing. The Justice Department is currently running a pair of criminal investigations into both his handling of classified documents and his attempt to overturn the 2020 election. In January, Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, who has been investigating Trump and his allies' attempt to overturn the election in Georgia, said charging decisions in that case would be coming soon. And our next article from TeenVogue.com. Tennessee Representative Burchett says Congress isn't going to do anything about school shootings. And this article was written by Lexi McMenamin. Despite being the ones who want guns to be widely available, conservatives and right-wingers have had an absolute field day responding to the March 27th shooting at a Nashville elementary school that killed 6. They're piling onto premature assertions about the shooter's identity, with everyone from commentators to congresspeople getting in on it. But one Tennessee congressperson had oddly brutal things to say about the event that resulted in the death of 3 children. Namely, he planned to do nothing about it. In a viral tweet thread, Representative Tim Burchett, Republican, Tennessee, is seen speaking to the media about his plans, or lack thereof, for addressing school shootings. NBC News reports this was the 3rd school shooting of 2023. "We're not going to fix it," he declared, claiming criminals are going to be criminals, and weirdly citing his dad's experience as a veteran of World War II as an explanation. As Stephen Colbert responded last night, counterpoint, elementary school is not supposed to be like World War II. According to The Guardian, Burchett has received an A rating from the NRA's PAC because of his opposition to banning semi-automatic weapons. He also signed on to an amicus brief supporting the overturning of the 2020 presidential election. "I don't think you're going to stop the gun violence. I think you've got to change people's hearts," Burchett, again a congressional representative for, as The Onion continuously asserts, the only nation where this regularly happens, said. "As a Christian, as we talk about in the church," he continued, "I've said this many times, I think we really need a revival in this country." Wow, thoughts and prayers. Okay, sure. Anyways, things that are, apparently, within Burchett's purview, backing anti-drag legislation that is so severe it's making trans people worry about going outside, which was signed in alongside a gender-affirming care ban for minors, since obviously that's more threatening to kids than being killed by guns at school. When asked what he would do to protect kids like his daughter, a reminder that the three children killed in Monday's shooting were all 9 years old, he shrugged and replied, "Well, we homeschool her." This response was maddening to me, essentially saying best of luck to what is a fundamentally systemic problem created by Congress that Burchett is able to do something about. In terms of homeschooling, he's just opting out. Teen Vogue's December 2022 issue, in honor of the many we've lost to school shootings, explored the perspectives of young people who are clear that it's one of the most worrisome issues of their adolescent years. This also overlooks how school shootings impact more than just students. It's a risk for everyone who works in a school, like the three staff members killed on Monday who put their lives on the line to protect the children. Maybe you can pull your kids out of school, but the teachers in my family were among the first I knew to have to return to the classroom during the pandemic. And at least one of the teachers I know had their campus evacuated in the last year after a gun was found on school grounds. But the whole homeschooling thing, coming from someone with a track record like Burchett, sounds like a conservative dog whistle. What Harvard's Elizabeth Barthollet calls the unregulated regime of homeschooling is a core part of the current fight for parental rights, a euphemism for restricting young people's autonomy with their bodies. Last June, The Washington Post reported that conservative Christian homeschool advocates are laying a foundation for the current wave of parental rights-related policies, while taking an active role in making these policies law. States like New Hampshire, Florida, and Virginia are currently considering or passing proposals inspired or influenced by the concept. Burchett's insensitive comments kicked off a flurry of media coverage, which I guess is more important to him than using any of his agency as a member of Congress. As we continue to learn more about the Covenant school shooting, we can safely assume that Burchett, by his own words, won't be a part of any solutions.
We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.